Well, it's 1:30. We'll get started here. Call the Wilmer Park Recreation Board meeting for February 15th, 2023, here at the Wilmer Civic Center and the community room. Roll call, Jim Anderson, he is absent. Rand Milton?
Here.
Kent Skoglund, he is also absent. Steve Tammet?
Here.
Alyssa Norstein?
Here.
Al Settrum?
Here.
Chloe Quinn?
Here.
Councilmember Shouldus is coming later. And Councilmember Osmus is not here. Staff, Rob Umgarn is here. Kurt Hein?
Here.
Rachel Centellis?
Here.
And the new person, Steve Stuerude?
Here.
All right. Any proposed additions or deletions to the agenda? Hearing none, we'll move on. Approval of the minutes? Since they're back from November. So, do I have a motion?
Oh.
Al? Second?
Second.
By Rand, any discussion about them?
I don't think so.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Motion passes. Anyone here from the public to make comments? Going once? Going twice? None. All right, now we'll get right into the agenda. As you can tell, Jim and Kent are not here, so I will be leading the meeting here. So pop in if you have any questions. So probably some introductions around the room. I know Carl's not here yet, but everyone knows who I am. I'm Rob Umgarn. I'm the Park and Recreation Director.
I'm Kurt Hein with the City of Wilmer Public Works.
Rachel Centellis, Recreation Assistant.
Alyssa Marcy.
Steve Stuerude, Youth Record Coordinator.
Steve Cameron.
Justin Jorgensen.
Al Settrum.
Rand Middleton.
Okay. Thank you for all being here. We'll start with Steve, the first Steve. Tell us a little about yourself. You're the new board member here. You're replacing Tom Gilbertson. And give it to us.
Born and raised here in Wilmer. I've always been interested in parks, rec, things going on in the city. Live here in town, obviously, with my wife and two kids. I work at Woody's Trucking.
Okay, we'll pass it on to the new guy here. Steve, why don't you give us a little background about yourself and...
Okay, Steve Stuerude. I was the committee head director for Lockapaw Valley the last 11 years. And have worked with recreation and community ed for probably over 20 years. And I'm hoping to move over here in the spring or summer.
And his main duties will be the youth recreation, so all the youth programming from baseball to softball, wrestling, hockey, he'll have his hands full with everything that's going on that's replacing Alex. So, well, welcome aboard. I know when Carl gets here, he'll do a little introduction, but he is also a new council member and also a liaison to our board replacing Rick. So, all right, so now we'll get back into the agenda. The baseball and softball association agreements, there are two different agreements that are in front of you. The baseball one has been in front of you before. Just want to talk a little bit about this one. This is now a three-year agreement instead of a one-year agreement. They feel like they've been established enough, and they would really like to be able to advertise throughout the ballpark. So in your Appendix A, you'll see all the ball fields that are listed here. They just want to have the reins to be able to put the signage around wherever feel that they want to and stuff. I'm guessing they're still going to be doing the stuff on Wilmer Avenue because a lot more people see it that way, but I think their goal is to start working on the LC field, starting to get some of the outfield fencing done that way as well. So again, this is a three-year commitment for them. This is very similar to what we've done in the past, what we've been doing with the hockey boosters and the softball one as well coming up here. So they're getting, everyone gets it for a dollar a year, so it's a good advertising for them to fundraise for some projects and some of their own in-house businesses that they have to conduct. So anyone have any questions about this? Pretty self-explanatory. It's kind of just a renewal of it, but again, the only difference is probably that it's a three-year term. so we don't have to come back every year to do this. So, and then with the softball one, they would like to do the advertising on the complex right outside here. So they want like to start selling some signage out there as well. We want to start this one off on a one-year agreement to see how it goes for them. Very similar to what we did with the hockey boosters. They did a year, and then they came back and renewed it. I think that after that second year, I think they get a little bit understanding about how the process has to work, about trying to get everything ready and what type of signage and everything like that. And start, probably get a little bit understanding how to market it and get some advertising put out there. So, and because this year, the hockey boosters, it's filled up the blue line a lot more than it did the year before. So. That's really good. So again, a dollar. This is a one-year advertising agreement. So, anybody have any questions? Okay, now this is a motion that I would need to have. So I need a motion and a second to move it on to the council. We'll probably need a motion for the soft or for the baseball one, and then one for the softball. Mm-hmm. Who like to do the motions for baseball? Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on it? All in favor by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Passes. All right. Who would like to make the motion for softball?
I will.
Okay. Well, you'll go be first, all right? Any discussion? All in favor by saying aye?
Aye.
Passes. All right. Moving on, the Blue Cross Blue Shield Fitness Grant. This will have been just to you guys earlier, but with us not having the meeting in January, this has gone to council already for this fitness court. It's an interesting court and everything, so we have been working through the process of it. The equipment has already arrived. Mm-hmm. So basically what this is going to be is an outdoor gym and I would say yoga slash Pilates slash Zumba type of platform that people will be able to have. So what the goal is to put this at Sperry Park. It'll be west of the pickleball courts and west of the trees, east of the original Flags of Honor. The big piece about this is if you look through the pamphlet or the flyers is that we're able to work with the local artists to work on what we call the wall and the mural. And so they'll be able to do a more of a digital type of graphics on their programs that they use. And we are working with the Arts Council with that to select an artist. It'll go out for bid basically next Wednesday. I think your wife's going to get the information, so she'll be able to put it into the paper. And then we'll be able to select an artist that will be able to do the mural. So there's some parameters about the mural. You can't advertise like businesses. You can't advertise like treadmills, because they really want to focus it on trying to use the equipment that's in the park. Oddball thing, you can't put like pictures of kids on it, like kids stuff, but they want to really promote outdoor fitness and everything. So and we did receive the grant. It was $70,000 for the grant. This whole project is probably going to be close to $230,000, and we had $160,000 in our CIP, so everything's pretty much going to get covered from our CIP funding. A little in-house work with some site work from the public works staff, and then getting it built. And they're very, I don't want to say, there's certain timelines that everything has to be done by. And so it's a little aggressive. They want to have it done by July so they can do a groundbreaking ceremony with it and everything. And what the thing about it, we'll be the first one in Minnesota to have this. So, and that's why they kind of picked Wilmer for it. They like Sperry Park because of the visibility that it will have from the road and everything like that. So, neat addition to the park system, so people will be able to do some exercise work there and really kind of utilize Sperry Park more, even with the new parking lot and the pickleball courts there that this just kind of finishes off that park.
Is it both sides, so it's just like...
Yep, you'll have a studio on one side.
Could be going on.
Yep, and then you'll have the exercise equipment behind the wall. So just because of how the, if you look at the very first page, so some people will say that's, I would say that's the back of the wall. And so that will be not seen from the road per se. So the mural will be facing the road, and then the studio will be on the north side. So that's going to be more visible that way. And so there's more details to it and everything, but on the next page, you're going to talk about, you know, the core, squat, push and pulls, lunges. So it's really going to be like manual resistant, but your body weight type of activities that will happen in there. So be interesting to see what the artist comes up with. There's a bunch of different designs that they could see what that has happened more in the, I would say, the southern states, where it's a little bit warmer, where it can be utilized year-round, but something that Wilmer doesn't have. So so we'll give it a whirl. So, the back page kind of gives you an idea about what the, it's called the studio, and then the wall, and then the equipment on the other side. It's going to be highly visible at Sperry. There was other, you know, we talked about maybe even having it out here by the trailhead, because then the high school could use it for 5A classes. Where else did we look at? Was it Rice?
Rice Park, yeah.
Yeah, Rice Park as well. But they have a little say about where this goes and that. So this is they prefer it to have it at Sperry. So that will be coming this summer.
They help with the maintenance then after
it's empty? No.
Okay.
It's on us.
So I think you gotta go out and fix things?
Yep. So, and they have it all, like, they'll have the installers come in. They're certified National Fitness Court installers. But so they'll be laying the blue tile down. They'll put in the mural up. They'll put all the equipment and everything like that together. So, been an interesting process going through this with them. So,
are you going to put cameras up like some of the other, like the playground and stuff? That...
Eventually, we're going to have some sort of security out there. So, because either that, they're hopefully that some of that, because of with it being so visible with lights and everything like that, that people would not mess with it, but someone will. So, if we could.
Does they get covered in the winter or no?
Nope.
Covered in snow.
Well, besides snow.
And ice.
So it can withstand that, maybe, is more what I was thinking.
So. Any questions about the fitness studio court?
From the stuff that's behind the high school on that
show. Yeah, it is. If people don't know, there is the old wood timber type of activities that are on the backside of the high school. And everything. Yeah.
My friend and I went out there one time and tried to do all of the different things.
You didn't get a splinter, did you?
We just laughed a lot.
Didn't break it.
No, some of it was already broken. So.
So, all right. So, YMCA community education discussion. All right. So, we've had a couple meetings with the Y and community ed about, you know, the park and rec department, and conjunction with the YMCA and community, especially with the facility opening up. And it was good conversation. We've had staff at these conversations as well. And Leslie and Kyle were both there from the city to talk about programming opportunities and everything. But it was more of that, say, all right, it's going to have to be the directors that need to meet and talk about programming that happens at all the facilities. We got together and we went through programs, and I was surprised with the fact that when I asked the Y, I go, what programs are you concerned about or of duplication of programming? And they said none. So from my viewpoint and from what Jenny's viewpoint was, is that our programming does not conflict with any of their programming. So we talk about pickleball times, and they're like, nope, more the better. They don't offer the tennis, so we have tennis going on. We talked a little bit about the flag football program. They've adjusted their schedule to work with our flag football program. But other than that, we're pretty much, you know, we're fine with what everyone's doing and everything. So one thing that we're going to do too is probably meet more quarterly with youth coordinators so they can understand what the planning process is. If we're working out 6 months in advance, that they know what we're doing and vice versa. The conversation with community ed was a little bit different. I know that there's some, I don't want to say it, with Scott Wollner now leaving, being retired, and Alex Walter taking over, you know, he may have a little bit of a different viewpoint than what Scott had on programming, especially when it revolves around the community center. In conversations with Scott when he was here, I would say there's always going to be some sort of overlapping or meshing that there's going to have to be with community ed programming and community center programming. It just, community centers, our community center programming is going to deals with arts and crafts, so will community ed. And so when we talked about duplication of programming, I'm like, we need to define that. And in my eyes, duplication of programming is that you're running the same program on the same night with the same instructor at the same time. And he kind of agreed to that a little bit and everything, but he feels like some of the stuff that Britta's doing at the community center is conflicting with what they're doing. Especially if Britta can offer it as a community center class or course for seniors or just the general public, and the instructor wants to do it for free, you know, then on the back end, community ed is charging people to do that course. So those are some things that need to get worked out a little bit, and maybe not advertise so much if it is a free course or a rental on Britta's aspect of it, because I could kind of see what they're saying about it, but yet I know Britta's got a job to do at the community center about doing programming for her facility. So so we're still in conversations with community ed about certain aspects of their programming and our programming. I know one thing that's going to be coming up shortly here is the facility use agreement that we have with the school. We don't use the school facilities all that much anymore. So, and we've been having some struggles with the school per se about getting into their facilities because they won't allow anyone in until 6 o'clock. That's just their new policy, and that doesn't help us out at all. So we're asking them for some more flexibility with some of the things that we want to be able to do. Because we've been very flexible on our end with our facilities, because I know that we control a lot of the outdoor facilities. We're just asking for some little bit more flexibility when we do have to use your indoor space. Because right now for indoor space, we use the gymnastics wing, which we worked with out with the high school, that equipment will stay up year round now. And then the tennis teams will be able to come over from 3 to 5 on rainy days to use our facility. So it's a win-win because the gymnastics program is getting larger because the head coach really wants to be able to work with the youth. So that's a win-win. The other facility that we use is the wrestling room. And that's not a very high demand room outside of wrestling. And then the other one would be the batting cages at Kennedy or at the high school. And that's one thing that we're trying to work out to try to get here is some batting cages. So that facility use part of it is that we just don't need to rely on the school as much. So that's some conversations that will have to come on down the road. But
if we're just batting cages, you mean the indoor batting cages?
Yep. And everything. So because I just think if we can get those here, that gives us more programming opportunity to be able to get into to use those facilities for baseball and softball than just waiting on the weekends to get into those facilities at the high school or Kennedy. That's really about the only times that we can get in there now is on the weekends. And if we have it on the weekends, either the head coach has to be there or Steve has to be there to supervise it, or we have to hire a custodian on duty. And that just, if we have to have the custodian on duty, then all it does is put the charges back onto the participants. So that gets to be spendy. So I don't know, don't quote me, but I think it's over $50 or $60 an hour to have a custodian there on a Sunday. So it adds up quick. So So overall, I felt like the discussion was really good with the YMCA and Community Ed. We know that we got to work together with everyone. We're working on a water safety educational course for people that are not comfortable around water. So all three of us are going to be working on that together to put something together in May. So once the season starts, and the warm water gets warmer, so people that are not comfortable around the water has a better understanding about what to be like in water, what to do when something does happen in water, and just some easy life learning, life saving skills that we're able to provide. So, questions? Okay. Next one, spring ice. With the facility being open now, the conversation has been brought up about having, you know, April and May ice. And that was one thing that we talked about before, is that once the building gets open, it gives us the availability to have ice on in the blue line in those spring months. So with Justin here and Al, we had a meeting about talking about how we can make that work and everything. So it looks like ice is going to stay on for April and May here in the blue line, and then throughout the summer, and then it looks like August will be the month that we would take it off to do the maintenance of the facility through the compressors and then put fresh ice back on. So it'll be a good trial run to kind of see where we're at dollar wise to see how much it does cost to keep the ice on for April and May. It didn't help that the utilities upcharge the water up a bunch, but we'll just have to see where we're at. It's going to give us some good data baseline to see what it would take and see how many people can rent ice in April and May. So
you're going to keep that at an hourly rate, then is that the plan?
Mm-hmm. So there's two ways to look at it. I know that there's a number that we want to get to, and so if we keep it at the 155, do we get more people to do it? And then, but we have to rent more ice to cover that cost, or does the price go up? So then the per hour of how many hours you have to actually rent to get to that hour goes down. So it's the weighing out, and we've been working on that to see where we can find the happy medium or the number of hours of ice that need to be rented out and everything. So.
Yeah, because Hutch is going to keep theirs out now.
Yep.
I did have a question on fall ice then, because we're hearing now that the Warhawks potentially have a buyer for their team that would move it to Wisconsin.
I have heard that as well. I haven't heard anything from Cannavanti on that, the owner. I know that there's another AAA team that is looking to move up from the south up here.
Yep, they're looking at either Albert Lee or Hutchinson.
Yep. So,
but if they move, are we going to be able to get ice back in September?
I think we're going to have to look at punch the numbers and see where it would be at and how much, you know, because typically then if the Warhawks aren't here, we won't have to get ice on until first part of October, middle of October, because the girls' season doesn't start until Halloween. So those discussions would just have to take place. As far as the Warhawks, they need to let us know in April if they're not coming back.
I guess, yeah, I thought they signed a 2-year agreement.
They did. I finally got them to a 2-year, so they have to let us know by, I think it's the end of April, if they're going to terminate their contract. So,
regarding spring ice, who would be the main users, renters? Of the ice time?
Most likely hockey teams. There probably be some, is there any of the figure skating that may grab a couple of hours of ice? But there really going to be AAA teams. The association will grab some ice to do some 3-on-3, possibly. The boosters are going to maybe look at doing some things to try hockey for free. And then we'll do some of the open skating and open events. So we're going to try to maximize it as much as we possibly can to have it being used.
Is there a reason why we're having open skate next week? Because I tried to carry it through March.
It's a conversation that after this I'm having with, there's no sense not to have it run.
Well,
if we have it on, know, especially over on this side. The one thing that we did with the skates now, we move them on carts so we can move them over there, you know, work, should work out just fine, just have an open skate over there, so.
Yeah, you don't want to see it go away and ask them to come back out here in April.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're going to say by popular demand, the open skating is, it will continue till March. So. Justin, do you have anything to add with the spring ice?
No, I think you kind of hit on everything. I think we got enough interest to hit our number for sure, so it's just where some of that programming lies.
So that's, you know, with having the event center open up now, it does, we have the dry floors going in there and the Cardinal, so it helps out to keep the ice on there. If we can utilize the time in the ice and justify it to keeping it on, it'll be a good thing.
So. Steve, how would that tie into your floor hockey that you're kind of kicking around?
Well, now we have another item that came about too, lacrosse came into it.
Okay.
And so now I have to decide if I'm going to do both. Rob and I really haven't talked, or if we're just going to try one this year and then one the following year.
I think the big thing with the floor hockey is making sure it doesn't conflict with what the ice is doing, or does it conjunct with it that, all right, is the floor hockey more for stick handling and everything like that, and then the kids could go right on the ice, so those type of things can work themselves out. We'd hate to have the floor hockey be at the same time as if there's a 3-on-3.
I know the Y used to have floor hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Curious.
Yeah.
We're going to model it after that.
Yeah, similar to that. So, any questions about spring ice? Hockey folks happy?
It's good to hear.
Okay. All right, the big one now. The chair and vice chair openings. I believe that there was a conversation back at our November meeting that Kent and Chloe would be honored to take those roles. And since Kent's not here, does anyone want to make a motion for Kent to be the chair?
So.
Okay.
I'll second.
And he already knew he was going to be this way. So. All right, so we got the chair for Kent and Chloe as the vice. Do we have, so I don't know if you can do that. So anyone else want to make the first motion?
Welcome.
All right, so I have a listener in with the motion for Kent to be the chair and Chloe to be the vice chair. Does anyone have any questions, or let's probably do a motion on that and discussion. Any discussion about it? So now you get to run the meetings when Kent's not here.
I thought I was going to have to, but I didn't.
So I got a cheat sheet and everything for you.
Okay.
For next time.
Nice.
So, so all in favor? Same as saying,
yes.
Say aye.
Aye.
Anyone oppose? All right. Welcome aboard.
Thank you for all.
All right, Carl just hopped in from class, I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
So we just did some introductions and everything.
Okay.
Want to tell us a little bit about yourself, Carl?
Carl Schild has been a teacher in Wilmer for 32 years, retired a couple years ago. Back in the classroom again this year. And normally 1:30 works great with schedule, but being 2 hours late this morning, a little later, so. Newly elected to the city council, so. I'm still learning a lot and happy to be here and help out.
Good deal.
Okay.
Well, we're almost done, Carl. So,
okay.
So,
right.
Okay. So with Steve coming on board, kind of, why don't you tell us a little bit about what things are you're working on now? You're kind of be a little bit under the fire here with it. I'm sorry, meeting dates. All right. And your packet that we have up there is the board meeting dates and everything like that that are coming up. I don't think there's anything that will conflict. Maybe the only one that I can see is maybe the October 18th day, if that's MEA week.
Mm-hmm.
But typically in the past we held it still. So I would like to take the time here just to maybe go over a few things, make sure that we are up to date with everyone's board terms and everything. So Chloe, you just renewed, so you'll be on for another 3 years. Okay. Al, it has you expiring at the end of 24. Okay. And then Jim will be done at the end of this year, and he cannot be reappointed. Alyssa, you will be also done this year. So only if you want to let me know if you're interested in staying on. Okay. And Tom is gone. Kent will be done in 24. And Rand, somehow yours has got a little bit goofy. So, because you've been on since the beginning.
I'm done today?
No. I think you go off on 23 as well.
Oh, I see.
So, because no more than three can go off at one time. So, but I know that we're, Jim and Rand cannot be reappointed because you've served two terms. So again, once we get closer to that time, let us know. And then if you have anyone that might be interested, they just have to live inside the city of Wilmer limits. So, does that sound right for everyone about their terms? Because I know there was someone, I think Kent joined up halfway through the year, and then were you a little bit later in the year at one time?
Okay. I don't remember that one. The terms are all different, right?
What's that?
They're different length of terms.
Yes, it has to get staggered out.
Yeah.
So when we first did it, I don't know if you remember this, Rand, you're the unlucky one that picked out the like the pink starburst, because we had three, the color of starburst. If you got a red one, you only had to be a 1 year term, and then two. So you got stuck with the three. You
the
and Jim
years
did.
Term, that's
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it was Tom and Rachel Skrevek that got the 1 year terms. So then they had to be reappointed, and Rachel did not. So but then I think you, that's why you came on.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mine was a 3 year.
Yeah. So, okay. All right, Steve, you're up. Tell them what's been cooking here the last.
Been a month and a half here. Started December 30th and continue to meet staff. RC coaches, youth recreation workers. Moved in my new office right around the corner. Learning how to use the phone.
You got teased a little bit about that today. So
there are new buttons on this one, different from the one I had at the other place. So this means transfer. Two phones. So, becoming more proficient using RecX. I really like RecX. It's a good tool to register and has a lot of information. Been working on intramurals, hockey, wrestling, tennis, pickleball, softball, baseball. Warming house, we just decided to close warming houses because of the rain and stuff. So, and then the other thing is floor hockey and working on floor hockey and lacrosse. So. We're beginning to work on summer programs, getting camps established, and just keep on continuing to review program information. And Alex has been a big help when I needed to ask her questions. So.
Rachel.
Alex and Rachel.
I thought you were talking.
Well, you too. Yeah, you've been a diamond in the rough. Thank you. So thank you very much. Any questions for me? I'm commuting. We currently have a daughter who's a seventh grader. We're gonna go and have her look at the middle school here on March 24th. So, in housing, we're starting to look at housing here too. So, but the commute today's commute was interesting, but it's been good.
Yeah, I was just wondering this morning what it was like.
Hour and a half driving slow, and there was some whiteout conditions, some white knuckling, but. I don't mind it so much.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Does anyone have any questions for Steve at all? So just to kind of give some information, we are hiring another recreation coordinator that will be more, I would say it's going to be geared towards the adult recreation side of things, special needs, and aquatics/ and bikes. So like the aquatic center and the bikes will probably come off of Britta's plate a little bit. She will gather more of the special event, community events that we've been doing, like movies in the park, maybe be working with the Rockin' Robbins group a little bit more on that type of bit. So how we just adjust the duties a little bit as well. So that's what we'll be looking for. That job actually closes on Friday along with the Public Works operator / park and rec. So we'll be adding another maintenance person out here for the ball fields, Robbins Island, and with the arena and everything here. So that closes on Friday as well.
Do you have applicants?
Yeah, we have a pretty good pool, especially on the maintenance side. We have quite a few of them. I don't see them all until Luann puts them all into the system because she does stuff through Indeed as well. So we don't see those, but there's probably 15 to 20 in the for the Public Works piece of it, and we're probably a dozen to 15 on the recreation coordinator side. So excited to get just the team together and then everyone kind of finding their ways and start to be able to provide the programming and the services to the community. So we finally get back to being full staffed. So. Any questions?
Auto Value has an event coming up in the middle of March.
Yep.
And they're using...
They're using the event center.
How do you have any information on what kind of use they're going to make of it?
It's a vendor booth show.
Yeah, it's a vendor. So they'll just have booths, like curtain and drape, and then they'll have drop-down cords. They're not bringing a car in or nothing. So it's more parts for people. They had it over in the Civic Center, I think last year or the year before. So I don't know if that's every 2 year type of deal or as if it's a every year deal that they come and do it. So, but I think Ryan's got 5 or 6 events that are going on in the event center this time that are different than what it has been in the past. All right, we'll start down here for board announcements. Anything? Chloe?
I'm good.
Oh. Steve?
Good.
Al?
12U event in 2 weeks.
Yep.
I think we've got 120 rooms reserved. Okay. People coming to tell.
I'm sorry for
what? 12UA regional tournament. And that's it. There'll be a couple more things coming in now. That locks that banner and stuff.
Oh, okay. Okay. Does it need to be in the rink, in the lobby, or just?
Yeah, they're going to give us more instructions here as they over the next week and stuff. So,
okay.
So,
not a
I've
problem.
Been working with Brian.
Oh, not a problem.
It's all over.
So. Go ahead, Rand.
My wife attended a bridal shower at the Four Seasons. I think at the end, it was at the very end of the month, January, and she mentioned it would be nice to have a place to hang your coats and wraps, perhaps something collapsible even, that could be stored away.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Short and sweet.
Should I touch on the outdoor rinks? We had some negative comments on social media about closing outdoor rinks. I'll just give the information. The reason the Public Works made that decision was that this is an unusual year with the frost. We don't have much frost in the ground. So when it does get wet, and we had that rain, we end up getting frost boils in the ice. And when that occurs, then it's hard for our equipment to go out there because we'll bust through the ice and then we'll make ruts and stuff like that on the playing field. So we just made a decision to close it down with the weather that we had coming on. And we typically close the rinks, or they're typically not skatable anymore after President's Day on years past. So we're not too far off of that. We're maybe, what, 5 days off of President's Day or so. But yeah, that was just kind of a quick decision that we made yesterday because of the rain, and that we weren't able to go out there and maintain the, I mean, we're not keeping anybody from going out there and skating, but now with that freezing rain and snow on there, we're not gonna be putting any more ice on, resurfacing the ice. I think last week I heard somebody, I was gone last week, but I did hear one of our maintenance guys said that someone drove down on the ice. And so that's why we put the barricades up, so it would try to keep the people from driving down on the ice also. But I mean, if everybody, you know, if someone wants to go out there and skate, they're more than welcome to skate. Just that we're not going to be maintaining them anymore this year. So if there's any questions, then I can, if I don't have an answer, I can find it out for you.
Just give him your cell phone, is that what you're saying?
Sure. His cell phone.
No. Yeah, because actually, someone thought that this back over here on the west side of the event center in the blue line, because we had to put a road back there basically for a fire lane, someone drove right through there. And yeah, so there's ruts all the way from probably where the new addition starts all the way up through the loading dock door. So we get this a lot, even at Robbins Island, we get people that just veer off the road a little bit, and either they like to get the mud on their vehicle or their car, truck, or you know, thing that they can go mudding or something like that. So
are you leaving the nuts out there then?
We pulled those because they melt down into the ice and stuff, so we pulled those and we're reconditioning all the nets and stuff like that right now in our shop, repainting them, stuff like that. So it's a tough decision to make, but I don't know how much rain we got yesterday, but if we would have went out there and tried to push the snow off this morning, it would have just been a slushy mess, and we would have probably did more damage to the playing field than creating ice surface. So
I can't imagine looking at Garfield. It's even a close call.
Yeah.
In these conditions, and you look at the weather today, and the temperature and the sun.
Yeah.
It's destroyed.
The sun does have, you know, I think I looked on my temp gauge, and it was right around, you know, 8 to 10 degrees, which you would think you could make plenty of ice with that temperature, but with that ice, or with the sun, it has a lot of power. And when it hits that, the hockey boards and reflects off the hockey boards, it melts the ice quite a bit on that one side. So,
well, I, you know, Al grew up on the rinks too, and if you got to the middle of February,
that would be a good
year. That was pretty average.
Yeah, yeah.
People will still skate, like you said, but
yeah. Our typical skating year is we try to build ice for Christmas break, you know, so that when the kids get off for Christmas break, they have ice to skate on, which every year we're wondering if we're going to be able to do it, because it seems like, and then we get that one cold week right before Christmas break and we're able to build ice, you know, but it's always kind of a hit and miss, and it's like, how are we going to do it? And we usually get it done before Christmas break. And then, like you said, it's usually till the middle of February or so.
I will say about Christmas break, Rob, I was out there, I think, 5 of the 10 days that it was, and there was 40-plus people there every day.
What was that?
Everything else was only open one day from a Thursday night from 5 to 8. You know, that one time, one of the guys brought his fish house over and parked it on the curb so kids could go in and warm up. So hopefully next year you can have that warming house open at least 1 to 8 every day during Christmas break. So,
yeah. Well, I know, and we've been talking that that school property, that we really want to either do a land exchange with the school and us take over that land so we can put something above ground. Yes. So one, we could keep the boards there, and that can act as a station for where the boards are at, so it's not taking up the storage at Public Works, but also as a warming house that's right there. So that's.
Yeah, it's not fun when you see somebody bringing your fish house to warm up the kids.
Yeah, and you know, even the warming house that we have there currently in the basement is not ideal by any means. You know, like going up and down those steps with skates on, and you know, our grandma and grandpa come in there and trying to put, you know, go down those slippery steps, and it's not ideal by any means. Above ground warming house would definitely be a better thing over there.
Does anyone got anything else? Can we get a motion to adjourn then?
I'll buy it.
Hey, Steve, anyone else? We're adjourned. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.